Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Trey Wilson, who's the Director of Undergraduate Admissions at Coastal Carolina University in beautiful South Carolina. Now, Trey, I got to tell you, I'm so happy to have you because there are so many more students in my region of the country that are applying to Coastal Carolina and so many parents that have actually reached out wanting an episode on your university who are in my email opt-in list. So welcome. Thank you for being here. How are you, Trey?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having us. Absolutely. We've been growing drastically, especially in the New York, New Jersey, and South Pennsylvania region. So we're growing. We love it. We have those students here all the time, and we're thrilled to have more of them if they want to come.
Well, that's awesome, and we're thrilled to have you here on the podcast episode. So, Trey, let me just ask you, what is it about Coastal Carolina that you love, and what are some of the distinctive academic programs or majors that set it apart from other colleges and universities?
I think loving Coastal is going to be something that's very easy. It comes natural. The first thing that most people know us for is our location. So we're in the town of Conway, which is going to be your cute little Hallmark town. They do all the Christmas decorations, the Halloween decorations. They do all of the stuff you could ever think of. And it's that little getaway for you. Your family wants to go and they want to have more of a quiet visit. They go to Conway. But then we're 9 miles down the road from Myrtle Beach, which is where most people know. And so if you want to go to that more, you know, outgoing area, you want to go have a blast, you want to go have fun with your friends, Myrtle Beach is right there. It's a really good place for family members to come visit during spring break or something. So it's always that vacation opportunity for the students. In regards to what majors or programs we have that are going to be good, number one, the one that everybody knows us for is marine science. And so we do offer all three levels of that degree. We offer a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate for that program. But our marine science program is marine science. So it's not marine biology. And we do that so that we can explore all the different avenues of the marine world. So within that program, you can concentrate in ecology, zoology, geology, oceanography, of course, the traditional biology, and all the above. That program, we own our own island called Wadies Island. It's a barrier reef island right off the coast. So it's about 45 minutes from campus, and our students get to do their research there. They get to go out and actually go into the field. We have an entire fleet of vessels along the South Carolina coast that we use to tag sharks. We do it for oceanography studies. So just all these different things that are growing within that marine science program every year. One of our more not talked about degrees, but one that's very interesting and growing every single year is intelligence and security studies. And so this is going to be, we like to call it the alphabet program because it's going to be for the FBI, the CIA, all of the alphabet groups that are going to be, if you want to work in the upper echelon of law. And so this program is designed specifically to get you into those programs. We have graduates that go into those every single year. We offer a semester in DC for you to go and get that hands-on experience with whichever partner that you're trying to pursue later on. And then we also on campus, we have an operations command center. So they go through like a mock crisis events. They get to practice that. They get to really go out there and get those hands-on skills, even if it's really hard to get hands-on skills in crisis. So we have the ability to give them that mock environment for those programs. And then one of our really cool programs that's unique, there's only 17 of them in the country, and that's our PGA program. So if you're within the School of Business and you really enjoy golf, you can get into the PGA program, and then you will graduate PGA certified to work in a golf course or manage in a golf course, being a caddy, something along those lines once you graduate. We actually have our own 18-hole golf course on campus, and we're currently building a brand new facility for those PGA students. So when parents come, of course, if you're a golfer, you go golf with your kid on campus. And there's a million golf courses surrounding Myrtle Beach, but we are, of course, a little biased to our own. And then before graduating, you will complete an internship and you will be PGA certified. And then I would say the last one that I want to point out is going to be our Sustainability and Coastal Resilience Program. And that's kind of a unique program designed on, you know, the environment. How are we going to sustain where we're at right now? And within that, we didn't just take the avenue of the science behind it. There's actually three concentrations within it. So you can do business and economics, policy and culture, or science. And the really cool thing is you can either get a BA in the two of those or a BS. So it's a one degree, but has two graduation completions that you can do. It's just one of those things that we're really excited about and we're very big on at Coastal.
Well, that's awesome. That's a great overview. You mentioned the location. First of all, you're in the quaint town of Conway. You're also 9 miles from beautiful Myrtle Beach, which I've visited many times with my family, and I absolutely love it. And you've touched upon some of your most popular academic programs, such as marine science, where you offer a bachelor's, master's, and doctorate. You own your own island, which is awesome. And your marine science students obviously do a lot of work there in terms of their research. And you talked about the growing program of intelligence and securities studies, which is also very interesting and emerging field for so many students. And you have a PGA program within your School of Business with your own 18-hole golf course on your campus, not to mention the many golf courses in Myrtle Beach, but you actually have one on your campus, which is awesome. So Trey, many students are also interested in the extracurricular activities and clubs, right? So could you describe some of the most popular or unique clubs and student organizations available on campus, and how do these enhance the overall student experience?
So I'll start off with it's one of those cliche ones that we like to talk about because it makes people giggle. We have a Taylor Swift club on campus. And so really that just shows you how wide the range can be. There's not just going to be specific groups. We have a CCU radio station. And so that allows students to have their own radio shows. And so you can apply to be in that club, and then you will get a allotted time slot where you get to play your music. You're operating, you're talking to the students. So you get to do a little bit of everything. We have a hammock club, and yes, you heard me right, hammock as in laying around doing nothing. And so because there's so many trees on campus, the students will go to like the grove areas, set up their hammocks, and just sleep. And that's one of the clubs on campus. It's one of the really weird but cool ones. We, of course, have your traditional Greek life. 13% of our student population is going to be involved in Greek life in some form. And then we have club sports. So we have men's lacrosse. We have a really good ice hockey team. We have a national champion bass fishing team. We've got a little bit of everything within the club sports. We've got your traditional faith-based organizations on campus. And we have a chapel on campus that's available for all students to use for whatever religious purposes they need. And then one of our ones that's pretty common at most schools, but one of the ones we're really excited about, we have the Coastal Activities Board. And so that's going to be the group of students who run all the events on campus. So they're heavily involved in making sure that the other students who are in these other clubs are having a good time. And then I would say that how it enhances the overall student experience is every college is what you make. And if you're going to go to school and you don't want to engage, if you want to sit in your residence hall and study, you could do that. But what we're going to tell you to do and what's going to give you the best college experience you could have is making sure you get involved with those clubs, those organizations, those people who are, you know, like-minded, but also different backgrounds. And so it's going to give you that opportunity to really branch out and get to know different people and different things. And if there's a club or something you're very interested in and you get here and you don't see something like that available, if you find 8 other people and a sponsor, so a teacher or faculty staff on campus, you can start that organization yourself. You could be the founding member. And so it's one of those things, we always want those students to have an opportunity to find a group of people that they share interest with.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for the overview. It really sounds like you have something for everyone. A radio station, a Taylor Swift club, of course, hammock club, Greek life, where 13% of the students participate. Of course, you mentioned plenty of athletic opportunities along with faith-based organization and so much more. But I love what you said, that every college is what you make of it. So of course, it's important to get involved. And if you go to Coastal Carolina and you don't see a club or an organization that's there, if you have 8 students and a faculty advisor that's willing to help, you could actually be the founding member of your own club. So we appreciate that, Trey. Thank you so much. And could you provide insights, Trey, into the application review process at Coastal Carolina? And what are the key factors that admissions officers consider when evaluating those applications?
So what I can tell you is, first off, you know, there's the, which we'll discuss later on, there's the early decision, early action, and regular decision. But once you've picked one of those groups, how we're going to review your application is kind of unique, but some schools do it, but it's something we do with every single application. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to calculate a core GPA. So we don't use any weighted GPAs. We take a 20 course list, and that is what we're going to use to calculate the GPA that we're going to use. Now, what I could tell you, and I don't know how much time this will take, but I'll tell you what those classes are. So the first four we're going to look at, we, every single student in the country, we want four Englishes. English 1, 2, 3, and 4, it could, you know, if you have a British lit or American lit for your junior and senior year, those count as well, but we're looking for four Englishes. Next, we're looking for four maths. So we're going to look for Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry from everybody, and then we expect some form of advanced math, whether it's calculus, statistics, pre-cal, something along those lines, and that's going to be that fourth math. We're also going to look for three sciences, so that's going to be biology or chemistry, one of the two, and then two other sciences. Now, what I'll tell you, if you live outside of South Carolina, we take physical science. If you live in South Carolina, we do not take physical science. So it's just one of those anomalies where we have a little bit of different rules for in-state versus out-of-state. We're going to look for two foreign languages. They have to be in the same foreign language. So Spanish 1 and Spanish 2, Spanish 1 and Spanish 4, we take those. And we're going to take the highest grade. So if you take four Spanishes, we're going to take the two highest grades. And we do that for all the majors. So if you take five sciences, we're going to take the three highest science grades. And then you can't do a French one and a Spanish one. So it would have to be just make sure they're in that same language. Then we're looking for three social sciences. So that could be, we from everybody, we're going to require U.S. history. Outside of South Carolina, we're just looking for two other histories. That could be geography or social sciences. It could be psychology, something along those lines. We're also looking for PE and ROTC, one of the two, and then two electives as well as an art class. And so those 20 courses, that's going to be from the jump what we're calculating. So your student may submit a transcript that they have a 4.8 GPA. They have a 5.0 GPA. For us, it's not going to be that. We don't have anyone with higher than a 4.0 when we're reviewing. Once we've calculated that core GPA, our next step is to count the courses of rigor. And when we're saying courses of rigor, we mean AP courses, IB courses, dual enrollment courses, and honors courses. So we're looking at all those groups to make sure that these students are, you know, testing themselves and making sure that they're preparing themselves for the next level of education. Those are going to be our two most important factors when we're looking at admission standards. We look at your cumulative GPA. It's on there, and we make sure we look at it because some schools, you know, may have a more difficult program, and so we're going to look into that as well. And then if you have test scores, they help. If you don't have test scores, it does not hurt.
Well, we appreciate that overview. I love that unique review and how you talked about the 20 courses. And basically, so I just want to make sure I have it right, you're recalculating that GPA. So whatever the GPA is on the transcript, it really doesn't matter because you have your own metrics to recalculate. Is that right, Trey?
Yes, sir. And the reason we do that is the core GPA, so those 20 courses, has been proven to be the easiest determining factor if a student's going to be successful at the next level. It's better than test scores. It's better than cumulative GPA. It's better than if they took calculus. It is those 20 core classes, and that GPA that you derive from it is the easiest way to determine a student's success.
Well, we appreciate that. And Trey, in terms of institutional priorities when it comes to that freshman class, could you share, like, how many applications do you get, and what's the number in terms of what the target is with that freshman class?
So I can tell you this year, we had a record number of applications, over 21,000, and that grew significantly from last year, and it just continues to grow. It's 4 years in a row we're seeing growth, so we're thrilled. It's a great time to be working for Coastal, much less attending Coastal, and so we're absolutely loving it. I wouldn't say we're trying to find a specific student. Instead, we're trying to find a specific student body, and we're just trying to shape and mold as we go. We're looking for those students who want to be at Coastal Carolina because with those 21,000 applications, we have limited space. So 21,000 applications with about this year, around 70% acceptance rate. which is lower, and it's going to continue to get lower the more applications we have. The more right. applications we have, the more difficult it's going to be able to get in, which is really good for, you know, the standard of student that we're going to have at Coastal Carolina, and you're going to be surrounded with people that are going to be at that same level as you. What I could say right now is 2,800 students is going to be a lot for us. That is going to be where we are pushing the borderline for running out of housing. So we require all freshmen and sophomores to live on campus. So we need the space to have more students. And so that's why we have to limit how many students are getting in every year.
Understood, totally. And I was also curious in terms of your in-state and your out-of-state, any restrictions on that?
We currently do not have any restrictions. I can tell you Great. That we have large out-of-state population coming this year.
Sure. Gotcha. Thank you so much. And, you know, you touched upon it a little bit earlier, but what are the different ways a student may apply in terms of whether it's early decision, early action, regular decision? What do you offer? And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other in terms of being admitted and or merit-based scholarships?
So we are now going to be the timeline decision-based applications. So early decision, early action, regular decision. This is our first year was this year. We've been rolling decision prior. And so this is going to be a different world for us. And so we navigated those waters this year pretty well, I would say, for a first year launching it. And it went great. What I can tell you is early decision is going to be those students. I like to tell students this. If you've never heard of those, what they are, this is pretty much going to be nationwide, the language that's used. This standard was set by College Board. Early decision is going to be students who, this is your only school you want to go to. If you get in, you don't want to go anywhere else. Early action, top three schools. So these students are your top three schools you want to go to. Make sure you apply early action to those three. Regular decision is maybe this school is just something I thought about later on. For us, yes, very much so. There is an impact and a choice when we're doing admissions decisions. Early decision and early action are going to be looked at with a higher acceptance rate than regular decision. So those early decision and early actions, their decisions are released earlier. So therefore, they're going to be reviewed earlier. So we, because we have limited amount of space, we can only allow a limited amount of admits. So we're going to review those first two groups. If you apply regular decision, you are putting yourself, you're setting up a barrier for yourself, because if we run out of space, you may be waitlisted or you may be flat out denied depending on your current application. Whereas if you would have applied early action, that same exact application may have been admitted, just that we now, because we have such limited space, we're having to be a lot more picky when we're looking at students.
So you mentioned the dreaded waitlist, Trey. So I was just curious, do you have a percentage in terms of how many students actually eventually become accepted from the waitlist?
So this was our first year using a waitlist. We're still currently working our waitlist. We our numbers don't look, we're not scared. So we didn't have to really crack open a waitlist. Our numbers look great still. And I can tell you, because of that, it's less than 10% right now. Have students that have been moved off of the wait list. And it's tough because, you know, if you're waitlisted, you're a really good student. We don't waitlist students who we don't think are extremely talented, or we don't waitlist students who just kind of have a good application. Waitlisted students have great applications. And so being in this world where you're having to tell a student, we don't know if you can get in, and they're a phenomenal student, it's a very difficult process, but it's one that we're learning to navigate.
Well, we appreciate that. And Trey, what advice would you give to prospective students to make their application stand out, right, in this very selective process? And are there any mistakes or misconceptions that applicants should be aware of?
I would tell you, depending, okay, if you're listening and you're young, you're a freshman, you're a sophomore, start looking at those courses of rigor now. Start looking at those AP courses, those IB courses, those dual enrollment courses. Don't limit yourself in what you could do with your academic journey, because we're going to look at that. We're going to look and we're going to say, the student doesn't seem to really be pursuing like a trajectory. They don't look like they're ambitious. They don't look like they have the drive. Are they prepared for the next level? If you're not pushing yourself in high school, it's very hard for us to say, well, they're just going to change when they get to college and they're going to push themselves then. We want to see that while you're in high school. So that's going to be the number one thing I'm going to tell you. Take those courses of rigor, push yourself, don't overload yourself. So it's better to, you know, take less courses of rigor and do well in the ones you take than a bunch to do bad. So just make sure you balance that properly. Letters of rec, depending on who they come from, can be phenomenal. I see some letters of recommendation from counselors, which is the most common one. When they come from a principal, that's really good. We get some from, you know, outside members, pastors, things along those lines. And then I'll be honest, I do not dislike a letter from a family member. A lot of time a family member can give us context into a student's life that the student may not have wanted to share. You know, a student may have dealt with something that was traumatic and the student doesn't want to bring that up. They don't want to share that, but the family member can, and oftentimes can enlighten you on the situation. So students, know that that's something that can be done. And parents, if you're listening, that's something that I highly recommend. If there's something that you think your student doesn't want to share or hasn't shared, write a letter of rec. If we read it and we see that, it's so impactful to us. Another thing to remember is going to be the effort within an essay. If you're going to write an essay, please put effort into it. There's certain things that we can notice when a student really didn't try, or if you use ChatGPT, it's pretty easy sometimes to determine when a student used that. Certain words really stick out, and we're like, oh, what were you doing with that? That's not you. And we can really, I mean, because a lot of the times if you write a really phenomenal essay that seems like almost too good, your counselor is going to talk about you a lot of times in their recommendation, and they're going to say, this student's not the best writer. And then you have this, you know, novel-based essay, and we're like, oh, okay, so this was not good. And so I would just tell you, make sure you put effort within the essay. And in my opinion, it's better to have no essay than one that's done poorly. So that would be the that's going to be one of the things that's a misconception. Some people a lot of times think that they need to submit something. If we don't require it, I'd rather have nothing than something that's just not done well. And so when we see that, it's very hard to take that out of our minds. Another thing that I would tell students that is a common misconception now is that test scores don't matter. We're test optional, which we are. And so that doesn't hurt you, but a test score is great if you have a good one. If you have a good test score, it's going to be very impactful, especially on the admissions decision. It makes it a lot quicker. And some of our programs require a test score. So that's going to be one of those things. Like you may apply for to get into Coastal and you're choosing this major, but if you don't submit a test score, you can't even get into that program. And so I tell students, try to take the test. I know that not everyone's good at test taking, and we would never hold that against you. But just know that it is beneficial if you are good at taking it, and they still matter. And then the number one piece of advice that I will give to every single student when they are looking at a college application, no matter if it's us, no matter who it is, when you are looking and it says, are you going to be test optional or not? Please make sure you choose the correct one, because if you choose that I am going to submit test scores and we never get test scores, we're not going to process your application. And we're going to send you emails and you probably won't reply or answer them or read them and decide to choose to be test optional. And so when we get to the point where we're processing applications or we've moved past the decision deadline and now we have students that are floating who go, oh, I was supposed to be test optional. Sometimes it's too late. We've had quite a bit of students that are put on the wait list because they chose that they were submitting test scores, but they were not intending to.
Well, those are great pieces of advice that you gave. I really appreciate it. First of all, you talked about, and I quote, don't limit yourself, students, in your academic journey. Obviously, the number one thing, Trey, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're trying to determine is whether or not they can handle the academic rigors of your school. And so the number one thing that you're going to look at in terms of that is the transcript. You're going to look at the school profile, see what was available to the students and whether or not they took challenges, right? And you said it balanced, right? It doesn't mean that you have to take every single advanced course ever imaginable, but that, you know, there's a balance and you're showing rigor within high school, building those ramps so that you're proving to the admissions people that you could do the work once you're on their campus. You also talked about letters, but specifically letters from a family member, particularly if there was a specific situation that the family member could give insight to, if in fact the student did not talk about it in his or her own essay. You talked about test scores and the myth that they don't matter. They certainly do matter. And I want to just unpackage it a little bit more. So, Trey, how does Coastal Carolina approach standardized testing in the admissions process? And are there any alternative methods for assessing applicants' academic preparedness?
So that's why we use the core GPA. Because we have become a test optional institution, there is the core GPA, like I said earlier, is going to be your number one determining factor. A test score is, it's kind of like that boost. You know, it just makes us know, okay, you've got a great GPA and you have test scores. What I can tell you is we treat test scores kind of in a traditional way when you have them. When you don't, we do require a 3.5 GPA for our test optional students, because we need to see, it's hard sometimes to determine without that test score, because with the test score and the GPA, you have two factors that we can use that are very clear, very easy. You don't have to look into them. And so it just makes it a fast process. When you don't have test scores, then we have to go into those more advanced levels where we're looking at the school profile. We're looking at those courses of rigor. We're doing a lot more. The test scores get you kind of jump past the line, but it doesn't hinder you if you don't have them. It just takes us a little bit longer to review your application.
Well, I appreciate that. And earlier you mentioned the essay and the importance for the student to put effort into their essay. Be very careful, students, not to use ChatGPT or to, frankly, you know, have a private counselor writing it for you using words that don't sound like a 17-year-old. Could you share any examples of an essay that perhaps really stuck with you in a positive way that you said, wow, this is such a great essay? Anything that you could share in terms of that?
One that really stuck out to me this year, and this was a student I ended up meeting with, the parents of this student. And they came to my office physically, and they were from out of state. They just so happened to drop in. They called me, and I had read the essay for this student, and it was about the impact that her dad had had in her life. And so when I'm reading it again while they're in the room, the dad has no idea. He's never read the essay. And so he says, do you care if I read it? I said, well, I can't technically share it with you. And the mom had read it. And she goes, it's about you. And he just broke down. He just got emotional and he started crying. And I'll be honest, so I have a one-year-old at home. And so now I have emotions that I've never had. And so we both are sitting there and everyone's getting emotional. And it was just such an impactful story, because she used her essay not to talk about why she wants to go to college, not why Coastal's meant for her. She used her essay as a platform to show her writing ability, but also talk about the reason of why she's pursuing anything in life. And that was her dad and the impact that he has had, the drive that he has pushed her into her, and just everything he's provided for her. And it was just such an amazing moment to sit there and share that with them. And then later that I got to call the next day and let the daughter know she was admitted. And so on the phone, we're all screaming and everybody's hollering. So it's just those moments, those essays can do so much and change your everything. Because at the time she wasn't admitted. It was one of those things. We reviewed that, and that really pushed her over the edge and brought us a full circle.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that. And another question that came up from a lot of my email subscribers is, if a student is rejected, Trey, does your school have a policy in terms of students trying to appeal the decision? And what would be the likelihood of such a decision being overturned?
So the current policy is not much of a policy. It is actually just you email the counselor and ask for a review, a re-review of your application. Right. Will you get put on a list? And then we as a committee, me and some of the associates, as well as the vice president, we're going to review your application again and determine if you're eligible. I can tell you, out of all the people that appealed, about 20% got admitted off the appeal list this year.
Oh, wow.
So it is possible. It's not one of those things that's impossible. We are in the process of developing a true, now that we're, going through the wait list and all of that, we're developing a true appeal process. And so that probably will change by the time we launch this application cycle in August, and we'll have a true process. But as of right now, it's very easy. Just reach to your counselor. The next one will be easy as well, because it'll be in a decision. When you get your letter, it'll tell you how you could appeal if we create that new policy.
Well, we appreciate that. 20% were admitted off the appeal list, and it just reminds me of demonstrating interest, right? So if you get a rejection and you're reaching out, I mean, that's probably one of the best ways to demonstrate your interest, which just leads me to a follow-up question. How do students demonstrate their interest in Coastal Carolina? What are the different ways? And is that something that you take into account as part of your overall application review process?
So there's multiple ways. We use Slate, which, if you meet anyone within the world of higher education, Slate is the Cadillac of CRMs. And so I highly encourage anyone who's listening from another school, if you don't have Slate, jump on board. I'm not a paid sponsor. So, but I'll tell you that with Slate, you can track everything. We can see when you open the email, where you opened it at, how many times you opened that specific email. That's a huge thing because, one, it's going to track your interest and everything. But also, if you say you didn't get an email, we can verify that you got it. And so that's one of my favorite things. A student or a parent calls and says, we never heard anything. I'm like, well, your student opened the email and read it, so maybe they just didn't tell you. That's always a fun phone call. But what I'll say is we love to look at that. Now, it's not going to be something we use in our initial application process. We use that more so when it comes to those appeals and those waitlist students, those students who are engaging, those students who are reaching out, calling, asking questions, looking for updates, those students who came on a campus tour, even without a decision. That's when we're going to look into it. The initial process, not so much because we just have such a large volume that those students, it'd be hard to check every one of those. But when we get to those smaller, intricate groups, or if we get to a student that's borderline, let's say we're going through the initial process and we have a borderline student, we're like, maybe, maybe not. That's when we'll go and review that individual profile.
Well, we appreciate that insight. And I think the message for students and their parents is that it is important to engage regardless whether or not a school says that they use it as part of their review process. In this case, it may come into play later on, as Trey explained, how, you know, students were rejected, they appealed, it came into their process, and 20% of those that reached out actually got admitted, which is amazing. But for your own research, if you get an email from a school that you're interested in, read the email, engage with the links. Not only are they tracking whether or not you're doing it, but for your own research about the institution, it will certainly help you determine whether or not it's the right fit for you. So Trey, let me ask you about student support services, which of course are crucial for ensuring academic success and personal well-being. What resources does Coastal Carolina provide to support students in their academic journeys and personal development?
So one of the first ones is going to be your Coastal Student Success Center, and that's going to be where we offer all our different tutoring labs. We have a writing center, a math lab, a foreign language instructional lab, as well as academic coaches. Their job is to help you if you're struggling in a specific course. So let's say you're a English major, but you have to take two foreign language classes to get through your co-requisites. You may need some help. You may need some help with those courses. And so they can bring you in. They can really sit down and they can push you and get you to that next level and help study habits, all of the above, anything you really need to do with that group. Another big one is going to be our career services. And so they're there for, there's the three levels is what I like to talk about. The first level, when you first get to college and you want a job and you need some extra money, they're there to help you find an on-campus job, and they'll help you partner with a different department, maybe something off-campus that they just have a partner with that comes in and talks to them, and they help you with that. The second step would be when you're graduating or you're looking for internships while you're still in your program. That's what they're there for. They can help you, let's say, you're coming to your senior year and you're like, I don't have a job yet, but I need some advice. I need help with a resume. I need help with a cover letter. That's what they're there for. You go talk to them. They're going to build it for you. They're going to sit down and guide you through it, teach you how to interview, and really get you ready to roll for the next step and hopefully start your career. And then lastly, the third step is they're there for life. If you're a Coastal alumni, they will help you 30 years from now. I like to tell the joke, you know, when you're getting down in life and you no longer want to be a director of undergraduate admissions, if you need help, you can always go talk to career services and they'll give you a different path. But no, I love my job. So I just always like to make that joke during the campus tours. Sometimes it gets a giggle. And then of course we have our traditional academic advisors, and their goal is to just make sure you're on path to graduate. So they're going to make sure you're taking the right classes, making sure you're not overloading yourself, and really just guiding you to the finish line. So they're there year round. If you need help, just reach out.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, earlier you talked about all of the different clubs that you offer, and you mentioned to students it's important for them to engage in the community. And the same thing here, you know, it sounds like you have resources for every student, but again, students, you have to take advantage of that. And if you need help, perhaps with an essay, you mentioned you're studying a world language and you need some tutoring assistance there, there are resources on campus to help each and every student. So, Trey, looking towards the future, what exciting developments or initiatives is Coastal Carolina undertaking, of course, to enhance the student experience and academic offerings? And how do you see them evolving in the coming years?
One, we have our first four-year nursing program that is launching. Great. It starts, the first class is this fall. So that's been huge because traditionally we've had that BSN, but you had to transfer in. And so you did your first 2 years elsewhere, but now we're offering that full 4 year program. And so that's going to be massive. Students are, we have a wait list for that already. I mean, that program blew up instantly. And so students,
is that a direct entry trade for that nursing program? Is that direct entry?
No, so we are not direct entry. It is going to be where you apply your sophomore year to the nursing school itself. We also have a new Conway Medical Center of Health and Human Performance that's being built. The new building is coming out. And so that's going to be huge. And that nursing program will be able to grow as that building is built, because then we'll have more lab space and the ability to put more faculty in there. I touched on it earlier, the new PGA building's being built. And so that's going to be great for those students. We're getting a new indoor practice facility for our football team, which is huge. And that's going to be great for the athletes, but also with them being able to train and do stuff year-round and for the other sports as well to practice in there, that's just going to enhance our athletics overall, which, as we all know, the better the athletics are, generally the better the school is. It just helps out. And then one of the things that we're really excited about is our new space program. And so Coastal Carolina is going to be the first school in the state of South Carolina that launches a satellite into space. And so multiple members of our – it's going to be a – it's majors across campus. So we have communication majors, we have math majors, we have physics majors, all of them coming together working on this project.
That's awesome. Well, what an overview. It really does sound like there's something for everyone, not only in your classrooms, but on your campus. You talked about the new nursing program, new buildings with related facilities, including that indoor practice facility for the athletic teams. Trey, we really covered a lot, but before I get to the last question, is there a question I didn't ask today or a topic that I just didn't bring up that you'd like to talk to us about now?
Well, in my original notes, I put the location, but I covered that from the beginning. So I would just like to, I'll just re-highlight that and say that the one thing that I tell students about Coastal that sets us apart truly is where we are and how much we have to offer with the town of Conway and the city of Myrtle Beach.
Well, that's fantastic. And again, this has been awesome. It does lead us to that last question, Trey, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
This is a great question for me because yesterday I was working a college fair and there were a lot of freshmen and sophomores there. And the parents were coming up and they were saying, for some reason, I was one of the first stops for a lot of these people. And they would say, we don't know what we should be doing in this process. What are your biggest advice for us going forward for our student in the future? The three things that I tell every single person, number one, for all students, for Coastal, for USC, for Virginia, anywhere you want to go, visit campus. Go on a campus tour. Go to the Saturday preview day. Do whatever or whenever, because you will know when you step foot on that campus if it's right for you. You're going to step foot and you're going to say, oh, this is home. This is where I want to be. Or you're going to step foot and go, oh my gosh, I can never see myself here. Please get me out of here. The second thing I would tell students, reach out to your admissions counselor, recruiter, whatever it may be called. That is what they are there for. Do not be scared. Do not be afraid. Do not think you're bothering them. They need you to reach out so that they can make that connection. But also, that's what they're getting paid to do. They are there to help you. And that doesn't limit it to the council recruiter. I mean, if you have a question, call me. I don't care. We're here to help. We want to make sure that you know what you're doing and that you don't get confused. And then the last and probably the biggest thing I would tell everybody is do not wait to apply. If you have schools you're interested in, when their application cycle opens, apply. Waiting does nothing. Don't say, well, I'm just waiting on this test score I've got to take. I'm waiting on this. Apply now. We can take the test score later. We just want to see that application come in at a specific point, and it's going to be great for you. You're going to get that off your chest. You're going to get it done, but it's also really good for us because we get to see that level of interest when you apply early.
Well, those are tremendous pieces of advice, Trey. Coastal Carolina is obviously so lucky to have you, as were we, on this podcast episode.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college process. Take care, everyone, and best wishes. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.